Welcome to Canada's National Bible Hour. This is Brian Albrecht, your host and president of Mission Go. Today our scripture is taken from Psalm 23, verse 4, which says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." This is a very comforting verse, because for believers, the promise is the shepherd will be with us at the moment of our death, and he will be transferring us from this life to our eternal life. And as we walk through that valley, the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. So there's no fear there. The fear has been taken away because death has been conquered at the cross by the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord has promised to be with us. So at the moment of death, I'm expecting to see Jesus Christ. I had an experience with a friend of mine who I was with when he passed away just a couple months ago. And at that moment, he was out of it the whole time, and his eyes were closed and his breathing was heavy. But at the moment he passed into eternity, his eyes opened wide, and I believe that he was seeing the Lord Jesus at that moment. And I believe that will be the experience for all of us who are believers in Christ. What a comfort this is, that death has been conquered. That's not something we should fear. And all of us are appointed once to die, and so we are going to face that, but we face it with the Lord Jesus Christ. So therefore, we actually meet the person who saved us, who loves us unconditionally and has taken care of us our whole lives. What a great privilege it is at that moment.
Yes, we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is.
This is Dennis Campbell with Mission Go and our continued Global Times report, and continuing our visit today with Jeff and Jesse. Gentlemen, can only believers go on short-term ministries?
Well, Dennis, that's a great question. And the answer for Jeff and I is no. Often people want to go and use their gifting. And I'll give an example. For example, we have here in Western New York, we have a pretty robust community of medical professionals. Some of them are believers and some of them are not. But we have a pretty incredible medical missions team that travels every year of 60 or 70 people. And there are nurses who have friends or doctors who have friends that are in their medical field that aren't saved, that don't know Jesus. That doesn't mean that they don't go through all of the training. They do. And in that training, we're able to expose them not only to cultural understandings and those kinds of things, but we're introducing the gospel. We recognize that every person, whether they believe in God or not, have a spiritual journey that they're on, and that we want to invite them to engage into that part of their lives that they haven't touched before. Because ultimately, especially with medicine, people are they're called to heal. and therefore they go to nursing school or they go to medical school. They love to heal. And there's a lot of bureaucracy where people get disenchanted with our healthcare system. And that's not to say that it's not good. It's just that when we go on a missions trip, we can focus on healing folks and that Jesus is the ultimate healer. And we're able to meld both their spiritual life and their heart to the gifting that they have. And so we have seen, Jeff and I have seen multiple people on medical trips specifically that didn't know Jesus, that knew they were gifted as healers and loved to heal, but they didn't recognize the source or the attribute of God as healer. And so they went, they were exposed to the gospel maybe for the first time. They built community with other doctors and nurses, as well as indigenous folks on the ground, and it radically changed their lives. So those folks aren't believers to begin with, but they go through all of the normal background that we need every team member to go through to adhere to certain rules and that kind of thing. But they are exposed to the gospel both, you know, in sort of the classroom training setting, but then also practically on the field as it's lived out every day. And it's a really special moment to see Jesus touch their lives.
And I would add also, over 20 years of doing this, one specific, I work with a Christian school that takes their senior class rather than going a senior class trip to like Disney World or something like that. They go on a missions trip. And just because these kids are going to a Christian school doesn't mean that they're Christian. In fact, there's many of them that are not Christian in a Christian school. I can think of one trip that we went on. One of the seniors was very, very against going. He was against God. He was angry. He did not want to hear anything. But yet, everybody has to go. So he went on the trip. And it was about 3 or 4 days into the trip, God used the relationships with the Dominican people to actually share the gospel with him, reverse sort of what it was, and the questions that he had and the discussions that we had in the evening when our group got together, he got saved. It was 3 days in. From there, he has done many, many different types of missions around the world, and he actually has a local gym that he works with here in Western New York. And part of his goal is to share the gospel with anybody that comes into the gym. So he's a missionary. It's just his vocation is not full-time, but it transformed him. And there's many, many stories like that we have.
Yeah, I've really seen in short terms, people in North America oftentimes see this as kind of a one-way. The North Americans are going over to the poor country. But it's clearly a two-way relationship. I've had as many people, even people who call themselves Christians in the church, who part of the way through the process have come and confessed that they haven't, something in their life needed to be dealt with. I've actually sometimes built baptized people from North America on the trip who really came to a saving grace when they really had their faith tested.
Amen. We've had that same experience. There are some that have grown up in the church and they have embraced everything about Christianity, but yet they still don't truly know Christ. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it takes being on the field and a national pastor sharing his story and his testimony that's the one catalyst that breaks them down to really realize, I don't have the same relationship that he does with my Lord. And they get saved on the trip.
Yeah, we experienced a man one time who came to me after a few days, admitted that he had really truly never accepted Christ, but was in the church. And I was shocked. And he said, but now I'm embarrassed. He was embarrassed to share with the other men on the trip from his church. So we took a group of men and got together and prayed and you know, took that barrier down. So there's a lot of reasons individuals can sometimes allow themselves to be captured and not accept Christ. And that setting brings some of those barriers down.
And we also know that the missionaries that we're working with and the nationals that are there, we've empowered them to minister to the group as well. And they realize that's a whole nother set of ministry that I have that I wouldn't have if that group didn't come here. And so there's some really sweet things that happen.
That's great. And we understand, those of us that have been involved in these ministries, of how much power it is in changing lives, no matter whether you're the goers or the receivers in this case. Thank you. Amen. We'll continue in our final episode next week. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Canada's National Bible Hour. As you know, this is a listener-supported program, and we couldn't be on the air without the support of our listeners who are so faithful to us. We've been on the air over 90 years sharing the Word of God and the Gospel of Jesus Christ, and we trust that the Lord will continue to sustain us each month. This month, we're offering a wonderful pamphlet on Psalm 23. It's very in-depth, has a lot of meat to it. I was really impressed with it. Psalm 23, as we know, is one of the most familiar passages in the Word of God. And this pamphlet really brings out the relationship between the shepherd and the sheep. And I believe it would really help your spiritual life. I believe it'd bring you closer to God and appreciate Him, and also appreciate the care He has in your life as He takes care of you each and every minute of every day. So I encourage you to write in and get your copy of Psalm 23. You can write to Canada's National Bible Hour, Box 1210, St. Catharines, Ontario, L2R7A7, or in the United States at Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, 14231. Please continue to pray for Canada's National Bible Hour. Thank you. Today's message is from Reverend Art Larson. Printed copies are available upon request.
When was the last time you tasted a luscious red strawberry or munched on a cold slice of melon? Just one mouth-watering bite and you enjoyed a little of God's goodness. But have you ever tasted His love? The evidence of God's love is all around you. The beauty of a sunset, the kindness of a friend, the very breath you breathe, all are expressions of love from your Creator to you every day. And despite what some people say in this godless, unbelieving world today, a society that is centered on man, despite what they say, God didn't just wind up the universe and leave it to slowly unwind. Oh, He is very much alive today, drawing us back by His love to Himself. And his love is so great that it can bridge the gap that separates us from him. Let me read to you now from Romans chapter 5. Beautiful, beautiful portion of scripture. The whole chapter is just chock full of wondrous truth. Listen as I begin in verse 6. For when we, that's us, poor lost sinners, when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. That's good news. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Down in verse 15, speaking of our sin, it says, not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one, that is Adam, many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto men. Yes, by one man sin entered into the world, verse 12, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. But Jesus came, paid the penalty for our sin on the cross, and expressing by his life and by his death that God loves us. He loves you and loves me. Christ died for us. That's love. And the love shown in Jesus' death for us sinners is the love we all need more than any other love. You've heard the song, what the world needs now is love, just love. But most of that is sensuous, selfish love. Ah, but God's love, agape love, is God giving himself in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus, for you and for me. And I want to talk to you about that today. Imagine with me that faithful day so long ago when Jesus Christ, the innocent Son of God, was sentenced to death on the cross, along with the most vile of common criminals. Picture the scene as he struggled under the weight of that wooden cross, was brutally and mercilessly beaten, had a crown of thorns placed on his head, and had nails thrust into the palms of his hands and feet. Picture the face of our Lord Jesus as he was mocked, stabbed in the side, and tortured in the most painful and hideous of ways. Writer Isaiah says his visage was marred more than any man. It's almost too much to bear. We can't even begin to truly understand what Jesus Christ bore that day, the pain, the suffering, the humiliation. But the Bible tells us that there was a reason for Christ's death. There was a purpose for his suffering. And what was it? To show his love for us so that you and I could live eternally with him in a place called heaven. Jesus called it the Father's house. And for those who have trusted him and what he did on that cross, he says, I go to prepare a place for you in my Father's house. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's right. Jesus died so that you and I, sinners, might be made righteous. What a wonderful gift. What an expression of his love. Have you tasted that love? In fact, we are the ones who deserve death. And without the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, that is exactly what we would face and do face if you reject him and his offer of love. That's not what God wanted for his children. He wanted to give us a way to live eternally with him. So he made his only son, Hebrews 2:7, lower than the angels, and sent him to earth to live as a man and to die as a criminal for you and me. Though he had no sin, he died there for ours. He wore our crown of thorns. What does this substitutionary death mean for us? When the Jesus that we know from the Bible made his way up Calvary's hill and was nailed to a cross and beaten and mocked and ridiculed and died in our place, what does it mean? Well, first of all, it means he took our sin. 1 Peter 2:24 says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live under righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. By dying on the cross, Jesus crossed out the wages of our sin. Now we can boldly approach the throne of grace and receive mercy and forgiveness for our sin over and over again. Secondly, he took our curse. Think of it. Galatians 3:13 says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. By dying on the cross, Jesus crossed out the curse placed on us for disobedience to God's law. Sin is a transgression of the law, and all have sinned and transgressed God's law. Before his substitutionary death, we would have been eternally separated from God because of our sins. But now, to believe on him, to receive him, means you can look forward to an eternity in heaven. He not only took our sin and our curse, he took our suffering. Jesus said after his resurrection, Luke 24, verse 26, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and enter into his glory? By dying on the cross, Jesus took upon himself the suffering meant for you and me. He was a perfect man, God's son, the God-man, God in human flesh, and yet he was tortured like a common criminal. And the suffering that he suffered was our suffering, yours and mine. And then he took our shame. The Bible says in Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, now listen, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. On that day, Jesus took our sin, our curse, our suffering, and our shame. He died for you and me, but that wasn't the end. Oh no, Jesus confronted all of these things, then declared victory when he rose again from the grave 3 days later. He rose for you and me. He died for our sins and was raised for our justification. What does it mean that Jesus died and then rose again? It means to the world that the perfect plan of salvation has been provided. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15, I declare unto you the gospel that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Oh, it's God's perfect plan. He defeated sin and death and Satan and hell and rose again. He lives today. Job said, if a man die, will he live again? Jesus answered that. Yes, yes, to believe in Jesus, who is the resurrection of and life, means that when you die, you will literally never die. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Do you believe this? John 11:25 and 26. It not only means that the perfect plan of salvation has been provided from a loving God, but it means that God is satisfied with the work of Jesus Christ. When he raised him from the dead, that was proof that his work was finished, completed, and God was satisfied. That's what the word propitiation implies. It means that Jesus died in our place and satisfied a holy God with his sacrifice, his shed blood for our sin. And God received and was satisfied with the work that his son did on the cross. And thus he rose again from the dead. The Bible says in 1 Peter 3:18, Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. And to those of us who believe, it is the promise of everlasting life. Jesus said, because I live, you shall live also. He that hears my word and believes on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. John 5:24. Right now, it means that you have everlasting life. The moment you believe on this Jesus who took our sin, our curse, our suffering, and our shame, and died on the cross in our place, and rose again triumphantly. And it means a challenge to every one of us who are listening. Have you believed? Have you received Jesus Christ as your Savior? Are your sins forgiven? Do you have eternal life? Romans 10:9 says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, or Jesus as Lord, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With a heart and man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. What should our response be to all this? Because Jesus took our sin, we should walk away from sin. Romans 6:6 says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that we henceforth should live not unto sin, not serve sin, but unto Him. The Bible says we are to walk in newness of life, not in sin. Because Jesus took our curse, we should bless Him with our mouth and share with Him the joy that He has given us by thanking Him daily, and then share with others the truth that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, we'll be saved. And then because Jesus took our suffering, we should be willing to suffer for Him. The Bible says, unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, Philippians 1:29, not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake. Because Jesus took our shame, we must give Him all the glory and praise due His name. Revelation 4:10 says, in heaven they say, and will say, and continue to say through all eternity, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. The only shame we have is our shame. We must never be ashamed of Jesus. Jesus said, if anyone is ashamed of me, I will be ashamed before him in my Father's presence. I will be ashamed of him in my Father's presence. My friend, through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, He has made it possible for us to spend our eternity in heaven. And it's wonderful to celebrate this wonderful gift, to taste the Lord's love and to enjoy it, that we should be living our lives in thanksgiving to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ every day. The fact that He took our sin, our curse, our suffering, and our shame, and rose again triumphantly, and has come to live within our hearts the moment we receive Him, means that we should live for Him every day. We should look for Him every day. That we should love Him every day. Have you given Him your life, your all? Have you surrendered everything to Him? Leftovers are such humble things. We would not serve them to a guest, and yet we serve them to the Lord who deserves the very best. We give Him leftover time, stray minutes here and there, leftover cash we give to Him, a few dollars we can spare. We give our youth unto the world, to evil, lust, and strife. And then in declining years, we give to Him the remnant of a wasted life. Oh, don't do it. Give Him all today. He alone is worthy, for He gave His all for you. God bless you, my friend.
I trust the message you just heard will have an impact on your life throughout this next week. Pray to continue to draw you close to the Lord Jesus Christ. Here at Canada's National Bible Hour, we're really concerned about the spiritual well-being of everyone who listens to our broadcasts. Those of you who are believers in Christ and mature, I trust that this message has added to your knowledge and has added to your spiritual life. But there may be some listening who don't know Jesus Christ personally, and without that, they really have no future life with God. So the gospel is very simple. That God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Salvation is a gift of God because Jesus Christ did all the work on the cross of Calvary. He bore our sins in His own body as He hung on the tree. He took our place. He took the hell that we deserve for all our sins. It was placed on Jesus, and He died, and He was buried, and He rose again on the third day. And He's now at the right hand of God the Father, and He's watching over the affairs of the world. The Bible also tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And of course, all of us are sinners. All of us would have to admit that we all do wrong, have wrong thoughts, do wrong deeds. And then another scripture in Romans tells us that the wages of that sin, or the payment for that sin, is death. That spiritual separation from God in a place that's not pleasant. The scripture goes on to say the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You need to receive Christ as your Savior, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Also, this month, we're offering a wonderful pamphlet on Psalm 23. You really want to get a copy of this. It'll enrich your spiritual life. Please write to Canada's National Bible Hour, Box 1210, St. Catharines, Ontario, L2R7A7, or in the United States at Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, 14231. You can also visit us on our website at www.missiongo.org. And please remember us in your prayers throughout this next week as we are a listener-supported ministry, and it's a very difficult time to raise funds through the summer. May the good Lord continue to bless you and keep you in a mighty way.